It's All Things Considered. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Noah Adams. There are so many places in the world where the circumstances of life are so grim that even to try to say one situation is really worse than another is self-defeating. Still, even by this standard, few of us could think of prospects more bleak than those which confront a Hindu widow in India.
Women's lives aren't much valued in that culture anyway. It's safest for a woman to marry early and have children to take up a traditional role as wife and mother. But her security may end immediately if her husband dies. There are reform efforts underway that offer at least some Hindu widows a chance for lives of their own. We have a report from Julian Crandall Hollock.
If you walk a couple of miles across to the Mangrauni Road, you come to a small compound of brick buildings. Outside is a big tin sign, Seva Mithila, Self-Employed Women's Association of Mithila. Inside the compound on any one day are 200 to 300 women of all ages, many dressed in the plain white cotton sari of an upper caste widow. In traditional Hindu families, daughters are merely temporary visitors. Before puberty, they'll be married off. They'll belong to another family. It's boys that count here. Sons light the funeral pyre so that the father can attain moksha, salvation. Reality can often be very cruel. Yashoda Devi is a Brahmin, a sparrow of a woman, 5 feet nothing and no more than 75 pounds. The misery of her 54 years is etched in every line of her beaten face. Yashoda's parents wanted to have a daughter. A priest promised that the god would give them one. But in return, Yashoda's father mustn't set eyes on his daughter for the first 12 months.
3 days after I was born, he came to see me because he broke the rule that had been put by the priest. Within hours of his seeing me, he died. The family was very upset. I was married at the age of 11, and within 9 months, I was sent off to my husband's house. He passed away when I was 13. I used to be beaten up. I never understood it.
Yashoda's life then became a succession of near disasters, an exploitation by male and female pimps, determined to exploit Yashoda's innocence and talents as an artist. She first came to Madhubani selling vegetables in the market to feed her 5 brothers and sisters. Then she found work as a dishwasher in a local handicraft center for $1 a week. The lady in charge taught Yashoda to paint. Yashoda produced hundreds of paintings which were sold by the lady. Yashoda couldn't read or write and was never paid for her work. When she protested, she was thrown out. She went back to begging on the streets and was then offered shelter by a lady, Pool Devi, in the nearby town of Darbhanga.
I was working again as domestic help, cleaning utensils and washing, and I was given very, very little food. Sometimes I used to eat, sometimes I didn't.
Pool Devi also ran a call girl racket. She asked Yashoda to go and massage one of the men staying in her house.
Pool Devi had asked me one day to press the feet of this man staying there, and I resisted. So I was beaten up mercilessly. For 4 days I had to go through this torture.
Pool Devi tried repeatedly to pimp Yashoda. Eventually she ran away, back to her in-laws, who made her sign a paper selling off 2 acres of the land originally given in dowry many years previously.
I became mad. I had decided to renounce the world. I put on my mala and a tilak and I walked away.
Yashoda wrote a song about the misery of her life. She was found starving in the monkey temple and brought to Sevamitla. Yashoda now earns a monthly stipend of 250 rupees and teaches other women Mitla painting. She hand paints saris and has traveled to Delhi to exhibit, as well as winning national awards for her work.
What do you think of a system that forces somebody who loses their husband never to be allowed to marry again and to enjoy happiness as a married woman?
I think this system should not exist anymore, and widows should marry again. The trouble that I have had to face in my life should not be faced by others in my situation. I feel that everybody should be married and live as husband and wife.
Would you want to marry again?
My life is past. I am now ready to face death. If I had had even a few days of living as husband and wife, I would have felt my life would have been worth it. But now there is no time for
that.
It's just like once you have tasted a fruit, the desire for that fruit comes back again and again. But if you've never tasted it, then you never know what you've missed.
The Sevamitla compound can be one of the happiest places in the world, and also one of the saddest. There are women here of all ages, of all backgrounds. Some were once rich, then widowed and discarded. But they're all here to learn skills and become self-supporting, to beat the system that decrees that a woman's soul, her reason for living, dies with her husband's death, that she ceases to be a human being and deserves to be treated as lower than the domestic animals until she dies. Your head is shaved. You can only wear a coarse white sari. No spicy foods, because that might excite you. Not allowed to talk with any male members of your family. Take your meals separately. The list goes on and on.
Biggest problem of our society is the young widows, especially in upper caste, who are not allowed to marry again, whether they became widow at the age of 9, 8, or 7. They are not allowed to marry again. So we are trying to make them strong.
Gauri Mishra, the Brahmin wife of a local doctor, set up Sevamitla in 1983 to help battered women, and particularly widows, become economically independent. There are now more than 2,000 members in the countryside around Madhubani. The most pressing need is to teach them to read, count, and write, so they won't get cheated by middlemen. Every morning, Gauri Mishra teaches a room full of women, ages ranging from 15 to 70, all with the wide-eyed eagerness of those uncovering a mystery for the very first time. The next stage is to teach them a marketable skill.
India, you need
Gauri takes us inside to a small room where maybe 40 women are sitting cross-legged on the hard floor, copying paintings onto stiff letter-sized paper. All the pictures are the same. They're hand-painting scenes for a calendar that Seva Mittler sells in Delhi and Bombay. It's one of their main sources of raising revenue to pay the rent on the building. Yashoda Devi moves in front of each woman in turn, praising and showing how it can be done better or more swiftly.
How long does it take one of these girls to do the 12 pictures that go into your calendar?
Oh, well, Yashoda Devi can do this type of painting, only one in a day.
One in a day. And the same is true of the others?
No, because those are not as fine as Yashoda Devi's.
So it takes them less time.
So maximum three of this size.
So it takes one person roughly 4 days to do a calendar?
Whole calendar.
A whole calendar, yeah. And how many calendars are you producing this year?
1,200, I believe.
1,200?
We are trying to prepare 1,200 calendars.
Yeah. In another room, women are packing gram flour into cheap paper bags. Outside in the courtyard behind the water pump, the big sacks of lentils. Once the women have learned a marketable skill, they can go and produce at home, using Seva Mittler to market their work. There's the obvious risk that the menfolk at home will pocket the extra income as their own. So Seva Mittler set up a savings bank for the women. And now they're going one step further, offering a second mortgage to the husband if you'll transfer the property title over to the wife. In another shed, five women are weaving rush baskets out of sikki, a local wild grass. These women have lost their homes in recent monsoon floods. Seva Mittler's given them a roof and some training. The women sleep in the short stay home, really nothing more than a converted stable. The short stay home is funded by the Indian government's Department of Human Resources. It's almost always full, women coming and going till their lives are put back together. Seva Mittler's trying to buy a new house for the short stay home. Half an acre here in Madhubani costs $15,000, the building itself another $40,000. The capital will probably come from European and American aid agencies. Gauri believes that Seva Mittler can become financially independent of foreign aid within 2 years, through sales of its handicrafts and flour, by growing its own food. But that may be very optimistic. There are also legitimate fears whether Seva Mittler can really function effectively when Gauri Mishra is physically absent from the project. She's now training a young Brahmin girl, Renu, to administer Seva Mittler in her absence. But I think if Gauri wasn't there, all the old caste tensions would resurface and drain Seva Mittler of its crusading energies. My God, a wild pig.
And we are going to buy the land. If you want to see, we can show you very near here.
How many women here in total? Any one day?
Maybe 300, about 300 now.
In any one day?
That horse was there. See, you see that white thing? Just near there. And it was underwater.
Many of the upper caste families in villages like Jitvapur were angry when Gauri started the organization and invited untouchables or Harijans in.
In the beginning, the most difficult task was the caste system, untouchability. They were not allowed to come together. Then we called a meeting and then we passed a resolution. If someone says that I wanted this chapati because one Harijan has touched it, she will be terminated. Where previously, even the shadow of the Mohammedan, they were not going to tolerate. Even this Yashoda, about Yashoda, you know Yashoda Devi.
Yashoda
Devi would not have tolerated the shadow of a Harijan. She would have taken bath when she came. Seva Mittler. Now they are friends.
Many people claimed Gauri Mishra was setting up a woman's Raj. Thugs were hired to kill her. The Gundas failed. But caste tensions are never far below the surface here. And though Seva Mitla's president is a Harijan, many relief workers still complain that the organization is run by the upper castes for the upper castes. In Jitfapur, some Brahmin Harijan painters accuse Gauri of exploitation. Gauri says this is just jealousy. On the front steps of the compound sits a crumpled picture of human misery. She's 18 years old. Her name is Beena Devi. Beena's a very pretty girl, dressed in a magenta sari, her face absolutely full of despair, crying out that there's no further point in living.
Dukhi sachi. I am unhappy.
And why are you unhappy?
When I was 2.5 years old, I lost my father. When I was 5 years old, my mother died.
Two years later, Beena was married off. By the age of 9, she was a widow. Her new family refused to give her her rightful share of the property. She was starved and then beaten. Beena's in-laws wanted her share of the property for themselves. They schemed to force her to sign it over to them. When that failed, they tried to poison her. Beena Devi's sister, rightly fearing for Beena's life, came and took Beena back. She heard about Seva Mitla and brought her here. Beena hasn't been able to get her property back yet, but she's thrown away her white widow's sari and seems ready to resume her life.
What do you think of the system that made you a widow at such a young age and then tried to condemn you to a life of isolation and unhappiness and loneliness?
In the village, these things are accepted and I think they're okay in the village. But ever since I have come here, I have understood that there are other alternatives.
Do you think it's right that girls should be married when they're 7 or 9?
No, I don't think it is right. But when parents get them married off, what can they do?
If you get training here at Seva Mitla so that you can earn your own living and be independent if necessary, you're still a very young girl. Would you like or be prepared to try and marry again?
Yes, I think it is right for girls or widows to be married. It is better to be married and to stay in one place rather than maybe run away or get into bad ways and suffer.
So if somebody asked you to marry them, you would be prepared to marry them?
I can't say about myself. I have no parents who could arrange this. There is only my sister. But if Gauri Mishra thinks it right and fixes up a marriage, then I would.
Gauri's found a new husband for Beena and arranged the marriage for next month. Gauri's critics say she's merely substituting herself for Beena's parents and that Beena should be free to choose for herself. But Gauri says, and I think she may be right, that you have to live with reality. And the reality in northern Bihar is that Beena will remain a nobody until and unless she's remarried. Maybe things will change one day. But for now, if you're a widow in Bihar, you're condemned to a living death. Gauri can understand why a young widow might commit sati, burning oneself on the funeral pyre with your husband. Sati is illegal, but many Brahmins in Jodhpur are still sympathetic to the notion.
To die once only, to jump in the fire and die immediately, is easier than like Bina or other girls you have seen. For whole of the life, burn, slow poisoning, whole of the life, you tolerate the torturing of the society, of the family. Death is better than that type of life.
That evening, the women sing mighty songs against dowry and child marriages. There's one song they've been saving up for us. And to these women, it means as much as when it was sung in the deep south during the civil rights struggle. For National Public Radio, this is Julian Crandall-Hollick reporting.